Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a blessed Tuesday today. Got some topics that we're going to cover, a lot of health stuff that we're going to go over today, so it's going to be a great show. How are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing wonderful. It's so funny. It tried to rain so hard this morning, and they'd sprayed us so heavy with chemtrails, it dripped for like 10 seconds, and that was the end of it. So now it's back up to almost 90 degrees with like 95% humidity. And so when I walked outside, it felt like somebody hit me in the face with a bucket of hot water. So I thought, well, that's nice. And this is May. I mean, this is normally Florida in August and September for all of you who've been down here to go to Disney World or the national or the theme parks in our area during that time of the year. It feels like August already. So
yeah.
I wish they would leave our weather alone. But I'm doing great. Otherwise, I feel good. My foot's healing really well. My bone's almost completely mended. So I'm blessed. I'm absolutely blessed. And I want to talk today about aspartame for just a second. And I'm going to tell you why in just a second. But I wrote a book years ago back in 99, 2000. It was called Maximum Energy. And there's a chapter in that book called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. And I go in there on how G.D. Searle got the product approved in depth. And I took the entire chapter out of the book. And I posted it on our website. You can actually read the entire chapter for free. It's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime, if you go to healthmasters.com. And there's dozens. I think there's like 80 references on that one chapter, but don't quote me on that, in which I document every single thing that I say from journals, periodicals, etc. They took phenylalanine and aspartic acid. They took like 40% phenylalanine, 50% phenylalanine, 40% aspartic acid, 10% methanol, and they manufactured this product to create aspartame. This is an interesting product, and the only reason I'm covering this again in detail is because we add literally hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners every single day, and I don't want to be that guy that doesn't cover some of the basics with everybody. This morning, I had a dear friend of mine that I've known for about 11, 12 years. I mean, just a wonderful man, the pastor of a megachurch. Call me up, and he'd gotten some blood tests done, and he was very concerned because he had elevated phenylalanine levels in his blood. And I told him, I said, well, that's just not normal. They were at 83, and they're supposed to be 40 to 74. I think that's micrograms per liter or whatever. It's UMO per liter, so they're supposed to be very, very low. Are you okay, Austin? Hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you perfect.
Okay, I thought I heard something in the background. And so what happened is they contacted me up, and they wanted to know what to do with the phenylalanine. And so they actually recorded the doctor's conversation with them when he went over the charts. And he covered a whole bunch of stuff. And he also mentioned the phenylalanine, that high concentrations of phenylalanine cause permanent nerve and brain problems and mental retardation. And even healthy adults who don't have a problem with digesting phenylalanine, you can't have high levels. And this young pastor's phenylalanine was through the roof. And the doctor didn't address it any further. So when I looked at the blood charts, and I looked at them this morning, and they emailed them to me, he's a good friend of mine, and he asked me, he goes, what do you think about this? And I said, David, I said, you know, I told you years ago that diet sodas are bad for you. And I said, are you really drinking diet sodas, or how are you getting all this phenylalanine in your diet? And his response was, I'm drinking diet sodas again. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Now, the reason I said all of that is to say this. We've got to understand something. That, you know, phenylalanine is horrible. Aspartic acid, there's a receptor site in the brain which releases dopamine, which makes diet sodas very addictive to some people. And methanol is paint thinner, which cannot be made non-poisonous. And when you elevate phenylalanine levels in the system, which I believe that's why his phenylalanine is elevated, because he's ingesting so much of it through the diet sodas, you have to understand that you're risking permanent nerve and brain damage in high concentrations in anybody. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if you're a PKU, which you can't digest it properly. You don't need that much phenylalanine in your blood. You certainly don't need that much aspartic acid because it's a cytotoxin, and you don't need paint thinner at all. So I want to just tune you guys up a little bit and let you know that it's not okay to drink diet sodas ever. It's not okay in moderation ever. It's not okay to drink that Truvia stuff that's been now linked as it works as a bug pesticide. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Ever. It's not okay to drink sucralose ever because of what it does to the kidneys. None of this stuff is okay. All of these chemicals have horrible, horrible side effects, and you shouldn't put them in your body in any concentrations. I don't want you guys to be my friends that I've known for all of these years, and every once in a while you sneak a diet soda. Here's the problem that we have, Austin. So many people who listen to the show and who don't listen to the show, who are just generally not really understanding about nutrition, they feel as though they need to be entertained by their beverage. In other words, they don't want to drink distilled water, or they don't want to drink lemonade made with distilled water, or they don't want to drink a purple stick or kombucha, but they want to drink either iced tea or sodas all of the time because they like the effervescence, or they like what it does to them as far as giving them energy without the calories. None of this is okay, because you have to understand something. Some products on the market that are on my top 10 foods never to eat are unbelievably bad for you. And first, back, if you guys remember back in the 90s, there was a doctor. He was a suicide doctor. He helped people commit suicide all over the United States. His name was Dr. Jack Kevorkian. And I actually was doing my seminars back when Dr. Kevorkian was actually going to end up going to jail for killing people. And I remember I called the first four foods on my top 10 list of foods never to eat the Kevorkian Four. And I used to get a big joke and everybody used to laugh about that when I would do that at a seminar. I'd have 20, 30, 40,000 people in attendance, and I'd be sharing the platform with President Bush and those guys. But I wasn't joking. I was telling him the truth. I made a joke of it, but I tried to make a little bit of humor to make you guys who were listening at the seminars back then realize that we needed to walk through this thing together. Then I would explain to them what aspartame was. When you combine aspartame with sodium nitrite, so, for instance, you go out and have a pepperoni pizza and a diet soda, which is very easy to do. Or you have a glass of iced tea and you sweeten it with aspartame or NutraSweet, and you have a ham sandwich, or you have a turkey sandwich that has sodium nitrite in the turkey, which probably all of us have done at one point or another before we knew better. When you do that, you form a compound in your brain that's called the diketiopeperazine. That's called the DKP in neurochemistry. It degrades to form what's called a nitrosourea in neurochemistry. And nitrosoureas are the most effective agent known to man that I knew about, that I could ever find, for producing malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals. And so, in other words, if you want a monkey to have a brain tumor, you inject it with the nitrosourea and it comes down with a brain cancer, or you give it a pepperoni pizza and a diet soda and wait and let's see how that's going to work out for it. Plus, it's been linked to seizures, brain tumors, brain cancer, headaches, optic nerve degradation, blindness. This list goes on and on and on with all of the symptoms and side effects associated with aspartame poisoning. So what I wanted to do today was just to say, hey, look, guys, here's the deal. Don't sneak this stuff, you know, don't do that. I mean, I try my best to try to cover this stuff on a regular basis. Don't let your kids drink it. Don't let them drink the things like Crystal Light that contain aspartame or sucralose. Don't drink stuff like that. I don't recommend any of that stuff. Use the distilled water. We have the distillers at Health Masters. If you're concerned about them not having enough trace minerals in them, you can always add trace minerals to the water. We have AquaTrace that we have at the office, which is phenomenal. You put like one drop in a glass of water, and then you get a lot of trace minerals with that. So there's all kinds of natural things that you can drink that actually taste good, that will entertain you, like kombucha, that you don't have to drink distilled water all the time, or you can drink the organic lemonade, which is absolutely delicious. We have that all the time. But don't start drinking the sodas and all of these artificial sweeteners again, because, guys, some people have to be entertained by their beverages. They have to have the bubbly effect and everything else. I have a friend of mine. His name is John, and he lives in Winter Haven. And he came to me years ago, and he was having problems with his eyesight. He's a mechanic. And I've known John since I was like 18, 19 years old. So I've known the man for over 40 years, almost for half a century. And, you know, I lost touch with him for a few years, and he used to be a bodybuilder and a professional wrestler, and he'd gotten really overweight, gained like 150 pounds, got really obese, to be honest with you. He used to be like 175, 195, and he ended up being like 350. He was huge. And he was drinking literally, when he'd work on these cars, he's in a hot garage, he was drinking literally a gallon of diet soda every single day. Now, it messes up your blood sugar metabolism. It also messes up your fat and burning of body fat. It actually makes you store more body fat. It's a horrible, horrible compound to put into your system. And then he started having eyesight problems. And I told him, I said, look, I said, you're drinking a lot of methanol or paint thinner. This stuff causes optic nerve degradation. It can make you go blind. And he goes, well, I don't believe any of that. And I'm like, well, okay, that's fine. You know, I've got the biochemistry degree from Florida State in biology and chemistry. And I said, but you don't have to believe me if you don't want to. I said, you know, if I had to have my car fixed and you told me that I needed a new set of plugs in it or new plug wires, I would believe you. I said, but I'm okay if you don't want to believe me. I said, but you gotta start cutting back and start drinking water. I don't like water. I don't like the way it tastes. I'm like, okay, you gotta be entertained by your beverage. Well, what ended up happening is John was having some really serious knee problems, and we got him on our joint rebuilding formula, and he completely took care of his knees. They're doing great. Now, he came in on crutches to see me, actually. And I kept trying to get him off the diet. So does he refuse to listen. This went on for a couple of years. Finally, he called me up last year, and he was basically blind in his left eye, and we went to the ophthalmologist. They told him that he had optic nerve degradation so badly that he was going to go blind in both eyes, and that somehow he was basically poisoning his optic nerve. And I told him, he called me up and I said, it's the methanol. You can't drink paint thinner. It's not okay. It causes blindness. It's one of the side effects. And so he finally realized that I was correct and that I had told him the truth all the way to start with. Guys, don't make yourself go blind. Don't elevate your phenylalanine to the point where you start having brain damage. So you can call me up and tell me I was right. I don't want to be right with this stuff with you guys. You guys are my friends. I love you guys. I really appreciate you listening to the show. I want you to be healthy. I want to have you vibrant. I want you to be able to be, I want you to thrive. I want you to have more energy and vitality than you know what to do with. I want you to be 61 years old like I am, feel absolutely wonderful, taking no prescription meds whatsoever, just taking a bunch of vitamins every day and eating clean and having tremendous energy. That's what I want for you guys. I want you to serve Yahweh and Yeshua. That's what I want for you guys. I want God's best for you in your life. That's what I want. Drinking diet sodas, drinking this stuff, it's not healthy. You say, well, you're always telling us this stuff and that stuff. No, I'm not. Look, I'm giving you a bunch of alternatives. Kombucha's good. Lemonade's good. You know, any of that stuff. Distilled water is fine. It's good to drop a couple of trace minerals in if you're concerned about that. There's all kinds of natural things you can drink. The purple sticks taste good. There's all kinds of things that you can put into your system that taste good that you could drink. Remember, you only need half your body weight in fluid ounces every day. If you weigh 200 pounds, you need about 10 ounce glasses of water a day, 100 ounces. It doesn't take that long. I've got a 22-ounce glass here beside me, 24 ounces. It's a big stainless steel tumbler that I have. And I have to drink about, you know, 4 or 5 of those a day. And I'll alternate them. I'll drink some kombucha and I'll drink some distilled water. I'll put some minerals in some and some I won't. I drink some kombucha. And I just constantly am drinking throughout the day, keeping my body chemistry really, really strong. If you get used to doing that, it makes it really easy to have a really healthy lifestyle without the use of a bunch of drugs. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, you nailed it on the head, man. This is something that's been ongoing, and I've talked to numerous people about it, and you've talked to probably tens of thousands of people about this over your lifetime.
Millions.
Yeah, especially with the seminars, yeah. And, I mean, this is something that's so easy to stop doing. You know, I've worked with so many people where, you know, they aren't necessarily super overweight or obese, but, you know, they're 20, 30 pounds overweight, and they go, man, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm exercising some. I'm eating fairly clean. You know, I still cheat some, or I eat this sometimes or eat that sometimes. And my next question is always, well, how much soda are you drinking? Oh, you know, I usually have like 2 or 3 sodas a day when I'm doing this, or Mountain Dew or Coke. I said, simple, man. I said, 30 days, cut out all the soda, period, zero, no soda at all. Add in half your body weight and fluid ounces of purified water. If you're 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces a day. That's simple. That's it. Keep your diet the same. Keep exercising moderately. So that's just it. Yeah, try that. Tell me what happens in 30 days. Call me back. And every single time I've worked with somebody that's done that and actually followed that protocol, they always call me back and they're like, man, I'm down like 5, 6, 7 pounds. You know, I feel really good. I have a lot more energy. Yeah, I know. That's what happens when you cut out all that sugar. You know, and they continue to do that, and they lose another 4 or 5 pounds the next month, another 4 or 5 pounds. Sure enough, they're at their goal weight in 3 or 4 months, and they didn't even really change much of anything. They just ate moderately well and exercised. The soda's adding so many nasty calories. So then people go, oh, okay, I'm going to switch over to the aspartame or the sucralose with the diet sodas. The problem with that is that just said, the long-term side effects and the health problems just change. They've still unbelievably bad. It's still unbelievably toxic. It just doesn't cause as much issues with diabetes and heart disease and all the blood sugar issues, but it causes all types of other health problems. There's a study that just came out that was published in the American Heart Association's journal Stroke. They collected data on 2,888 people out of Framingham, Massachusetts. It was gathered by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute at Boston University. And what they did was, it was over a 10-year span, they measured information about people's soda intake, and then as far as if they've had strokes or dementia. They the participants in each group who drank an average of one artificially sweetened drink a day were nearly three times as likely to suffer a stroke and were almost four times as likely to have developed dementia other than the people as far as that didn't have the sodas on a regular basis. Four times more over the other control group. That's significant, guys. Why do you want to take that risk and do that to your body with something that's so simple? It's something that's so easy to cut out of your diet. And it's funny because I've had people when they've stopped drinking the sodas before and they go, you know what, man, I was doing good. And then I was like, you know what, I just have to have a soda. It's been 3 or 4 months. I've been doing great. And they go, well, I had one. I drank about a quarter of it. I got a headache. My stomach got upset, and I threw the rest of it away. I said, well, yeah. I said, that's because that's how toxic it is, man. The phosphoric acid, the caramel color, the high fructose corn syrup. If it doesn't have that, it's got the aspartame or the sucralose in it. I said, you are literally dumping toxic sludge into your body and then expecting it to function incorrectly and not have any type of health benefits. It's quite naive once you realize the toxic effects of what these sodas do to the body and really expect to have nothing bad happen to you and long-term effects. So, yeah, that's a short little opening on diet sodas. This is something that's really common, but it's a really, really easy fix. Just don't buy them. It's really easy. Nobody gives away diet soda for free. Nobody has free diet soda at the water cooler. Nobody picks up and gives you free 2-liter sodas when you go to Walmart. You have to buy them. You have to purchase them. That's you right. have to take them home. You have to put them in your fridge. Just stop doing it. Don't buy them anymore. Like Dad said, there's all types of other really healthy options that we mentioned that are in the same price category, maybe a little bit higher. Distilled water is extremely cheap, especially if you buy one of our water distillers. Things are $3.99. They make water indefinitely, and you don't have to buy bottled water. They end up, when I've done the math on it with somebody that's drinking a couple, a man and a woman drinking bottled water on a regular basis, the water distiller will pay for itself in anywhere from 9 to 14 months. Depending on how large they are and how much water they drink. That's super cost effective. So average within a year, you're going to pay for the water distiller just in the savings of not buying bottled water, and you're not going to be drinking out of BPA plastic water every single day like they have now. All you have to do is throw about 10 to 15 drops of Aquatrace in every gallon of water, and you have some incredibly clean, healthy, effective, pH-balanced water you can drink on a regular basis and make anything you want with it. So, yeah, Dad, I'm glad we brought this up today because this is definitely an issue that needs to get more exposure. We talk about it all the time, but I still feel like a lot of people are buying sodas on a regular basis, and it's just really not something that's conducive to a healthy American lifestyle, man.
Well, people need to also realize this. I mean, you know, if you want to buy your bottled water and you don't want to buy a distiller, don't get distilled water. Get reverse osmosis from the local grocery store for like, you know, $0.59 a gallon, dollar a gallon, but get it from a machine that produces it right there for you, fresh RO water, and get it in BPA-free plastic containers if they're normally blue. So if you don't have the $3.99 to get a distiller, that's okay. You don't have to buy that from me. I'm okay with that. But please don't drink that tap water, and please don't drink anything else. Just get the reverse osmosis water from the grocery store and do it that way. Because I'm here to help you. I'm not here to get you a distiller. I mean, if you want to buy one from me, thank you for the support and thanks for doing that, because it's so incredibly convenient not having to drive to the grocery store 3 or 4 times a week to fill up jugs. I mean, that gets really old. But the whole thing about it is that if you get it, I don't recommend you buy a reverse osmosis unit, and here's why. They get bacterial contamination in the membranes very, very badly, and they start going bad, and sometimes the water coming out of them can actually be more toxic than the water going into them if you don't have those membranes checked or cleaned on a regular basis or replaced. That's why the distillation is so much easier, because remember, distillation boils the water into steam. The steam is recondensed through stainless steel condensing coils with what's called a volatile gas vent, which allows any, you know, chlorofluorocarbons or other things that are inside that water that are going into a vapor form to come off the water and not recondense back into your water. That's what a good distiller has. One more thing I've got to say to you. I remember when I did the seminars for years, I had gone to Walmart one day and I'd bought a gallon of what's called super solvent. And it was windshield washer fluid is what it was, to basically clean your windshield with. And one of the ingredients in this, one of the active ingredients, was methanol. And I took the label off, and I would actually put it, and I had an opaque projector at the seminar so I could put a book down or a research article down. They would put it on the big screens. Got these 20 by 20 foot screens behind me, because when you're speaking at stadiums or huge events, they can't see you because they're so far away. And so it's like being on the big screen, right? That was always, I enjoyed those seminars. They were a lot of fun. And I remember I took this label off, and I would put it underneath the opaque projector, and it was just basically a label of windshield washer solvent, and it said, on the label, it said, warning, this product contains methanol. It cannot be made non-poisonous. Causes blindness and permanent brain damage if ingested, or death. Blindness, death, or permanent brain damage. So it's basically methanol's paint thinner. 10% of aspartame is paint thinner, guys. So I always ask the people at the seminars, and I'll ask you guys this today if you insist on drinking diet sodas, how much paint thinner do you want to drink? Is a glass a day okay? I mean, if you took a gallon of paint thinner and it said that on the label, this is poisonous, it contains methanol, do not ingest, and I took a dropper of that, and I walked over to the paint thinner, I took one drop of that paint thinner out, and I walked over to your glass of water, and I put one drop of paint thinner in your water. Now, chances are that wouldn't kill you because the concentration wouldn't be high enough. But how much of that would you want to drink? That's exactly what you're drinking when you drink aspartame. You're putting drops of methyl alcohol into every glass of water you drink. Why would you possibly want to do that? Why is that okay? I had a person who was a pastor that I'd known for years. He's very obese his entire life, and he lived on diet sodas. Finally started having all kinds of health problems, including adult onset diabetes. And he ended up basically being an aspartame diet soda junkaholic. And he used to talk from the pulpit. He had a large church. He used to talk from the pulpit about how he was basically, you know, always going out to McDonald's and buying Diet Coke. And I mean, he would say this right from the pulpit. And he knew that diet sodas have been linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation. But it didn't matter. I had told him all of that stuff. I had told his son all that. It didn't matter. He simply refused to change his diet, refused to drink diet, and stopped drinking diet sodas. So he ended up having to lose all of this weight, having all kinds of problems, terribly, terribly, terribly depressed. By the way, that's one of the other side effects of this, drinking 2 or 3 liters of this stuff every single day. I mean, he couldn't go anywhere without a diet soda, you know, in his hand. And so finally they asked me, I don't know why he did this, he asked me to speak one time in May, years and years ago, at the church on Wednesday night on health. And so I, out of respect for him, I did not say anything about aspartame while he was in the audience. He came a couple of the services, and I went into detail one night on aspartame, and approximately 4 months later, he basically ran me out of the church. Now, I'm not making this up. Now, Austin was there. He knows what happened.
Yep.
And I was basically run out of the church, and I'm like, wow. And what happened is, and I found out later, now whether he did, the reason I was run out of the church because of this or not, it doesn't make any difference. But they told me that they were sending him letters about him talking about Diet Coke all the time from the platform and how obviously that he knew that it caused all of these diseases. So why was he promoting drinking this stuff to the people in his church knowing that it could cause blindness and brain tumors and cancers and seizures and everything else? See, some people may have the ability to basically digest aspartame without having horrible, horrible side effects from it if they do it in moderation. But guys, it doesn't mean that everybody has that ability. Some people that drink a little bit of it, they're going to have all kinds of health problems from it, including blindness. So guys, it's one of those things. Don't do it. But that's enough of that. Also, what's your first story you want to talk about other than this?
Yeah, well, this is something pretty wild here. I've been looking through, and the House leadership yesterday essentially launched a coup against the American voters. Paul Ryan and the House Republicans came out with their new budget and the restrictions on it, which this right here pretty much shows you exactly where Paul Ryan is and how much of a full-blown globalist he is. In the budget restrictions, they use strict language in the trillion-dollar budget that prevents any and all funding of Trump's border wall. Well, I was like, okay. So then we started looking at more of it. His new budget bill, Paul Ryan's budget bill, also will fund, completely continue to fund, Planned Parenthood, Central American illegal immigration centers in the United States. Domestic spending will increase again. No cuts in funding to EPA whatsoever, despite Trump promises. Continuing payments on Obamacare subsidies and no funding cuts to sanctuary cities at all, which we have talked about is a must if you want to get this under control with this illegal violence coming in. They also, like I said before, they included language that forbids the President of the United States from building a border wall with Mexico. And also, too, the $1.5 billion for border security is only half as much as the White House requested, and there will be no money allotted whatsoever for a deportation force. The White House requested $3 billion for border security, and it was cut down in half. But it's funny because we can still give Israel $50 billion or $40 billion or whatever it is in foreign aid, and nobody even bats an eyelash because that's completely okay for us to do, but yet we can't spend more than $1.5 billion on border security, which we desperately need now with these gangs and all these drugs coming in that we're allowing the CIA to do. But see, again, if you increased border security significantly, all that stuff would become very, very, very difficult to allow because you would have extreme manpower on the border to handle the influx and to handle the drugs and to handle the violence coming in, whereas right now they're massively understaffed and pretty much overrun. So, yeah, that's what's going on with the budget now.
Well, Paul Ryan's wife is a lifelong Democrat. I mean, she's just complete and total globalist. She's super liberal. I mean, and so is he. I mean, he was that. He should have never been put in that position. I mean, the Rothschilds are firmly in control. The international banking cartel is firmly in control. The Luciferians are firmly in control. We covered all that yesterday in depth. If you missed that show, you need to hear it. I mean, this is who's in charge. This is what they do. And so, you know, basically Trump's a figurehead. He's been completely compromised by the state. They hammered him so hard in the media. And, you know, you got to understand something. Trump is not a politician. He was very clear about it. That's why we all voted for him, because we all had enough of these career-long lying sacks of pooey garbage, I'm trying real hard not to say something bad, politicians that we all can't stand. And so that's what these guys are. They're awful, all right? So we didn't want another politician in there, but now Trump's just turned it back into a consummate politician because he got pulled into that meat grinder of Washington media and the international media controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel, and they basically now have basically compromised him. He's capitulated to them. He's doing what they want to do. I mean, nothing's changed underneath. When Reagan was going to do what Reagan did, they shot him 2 months into office. Bush took over, ran the White House for 8 years, then another 4 years. Then Clinton came in. I mean, then the stupid Bush came in, and then basically the gay Kenyan came in, and then all of a sudden now we've got the real estate developer casino magnate came in, and so he basically is not going to do what he said he was going to do either, because if he tries to do that, they're going to do a John F. Kennedy on him. We had a coup of the United States by the deep state back in 1963 when Kennedy got shot. And it's just, they've been controlling it since then. They controlled it with Johnson. They controlled it with Nixon, and Nixon tried to do something different. They impeached him. And then, of course, Ford was just a figurehead. He was really not in charge whatsoever. And then Carter was a complete and total plant. And it was a disaster. So any of you who are in your 60s like I am, you'll say, if you were honest with me, the best president we've ever had was John F. Kennedy. Because he went against the deep state, and of course they killed him for it. So we have this situation now. We've been under this coup of the banking cartel and the deep state and the CIA and the drug runners and all this stuff now since the 60s, actually since in the 40s it all started with the OSS becoming the CIA in 47, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger until Truman saw he was out of control and Eisenhower saw he was out of control. But we have to respect the presidency. I mean, we have to show respect to that office itself to the best that we can. And, you know, and I've tried not to attack Donald Trump personally as far as whatever he's done. Gerald Celente made me a little bit uncomfortable a few weeks ago when he was a guest, when he started, you know, attacking Trump a little bit personally. I don't like that. I don't mind saying stuff about what he's doing and that I disagree with, like the appointments that he's making, like with, you know, the guy to the FDA. I mean, this is ridiculous. This guy is in the FDA.
Gottlieb,
yeah. I've repressed his name. I'm so have had it with him, Austin, because I don't even want to believe this is going to happen to us, but it's happening. So Trump's completely out of control now. But last night, Stephen Colbert went on a huge rant against Donald Trump and absolutely crossed the line. He was using filthy language, making homophobic slurs against Trump. And I hope and pray they take this guy off the air, because it's enough. I mean, it's enough. I mean, you have to be careful. You can't go to that level and attack the presidency like that, to that level, like he did last night. It was too much. If a Democratic president had ever been attacked to this level that Colbert did, it would be ridiculous. So what it shows us is still this. There's still members of the deep state that were completely and totally pro Hillary Clinton, and Donald Trump is still aggravating them a little bit because of his rhetoric, as far as his religious rhetoric, et cetera, that he talks about. And they really wanted the Witch of Benghazi in. So we have two competing factions right now for the heart and soul of the United States. And it's like you said yesterday, Austin, I don't care how bad Trump gets compromised, which he's pretty compromised at this point, it's still a far sight better than that wicked Witch of Benghazi would have been. And I hope that Donald has enough testicle strength, and I mean that very sincerely as far as testosterone production, to stand up against these guys and not take us into World War III and say, you know what, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to pass on that. We're not going to allow that to happen right now. But remember, he's not had the experience in dealing with these guys. He's had to learn how to swim with sharks for years. Because remember, he's dealing with a lot of mafia people on an ongoing basis in these casinos. I mean, you know, whether you want to believe that or not, that's just what it is. And I remember people saying, what a strong Christian that he is and all that. I said, well, quite frankly, I think he might be saved, but I don't know that. I said, because we'll know them by their fruits. And if he owns casinos and organized gambling and all the other stuff that goes with that particular type of lifestyle, it's very difficult for me to believe that he's really a true, born-again, committed Christian. Now, he may be committed, and he may be born again, and he may just be in over his head. And that's what Robert Steele said, that he's just way in over his head. And Paul Craig Roberts has said the same thing. He's way over his head, and he basically doesn't have the expertise to deal with this stuff. Now, he may come around in a year or 2 years and start to realize he does have the power of veto. He does have the ability to stop some of this stuff and find out where and what he can do. But remember, when Jared Kushner is his name, number one presidential advisor, he's in bed with George Soros to the tune of $259 million with Cadre Developments, in addition to the other hundreds of millions of dollars he's borrowed on this apartment at 666 Avenue up there. And God, I can't believe it's a 666 number. Of course I can. Why would I not believe that? Up in New York City. I think it's 666 7th Avenue or whatever it is. I cannot believe that these guys are just, you know, running the country right now. So what we have is an organized crime syndicate, the Jewish crime syndicate, pretty much the mob, being run by George Soros, that is firmly in charge of the policies of the United States through Kushner and through Ivanka. And we're supposed to just sit back here and supposed to like it. Not only are you going to accept it, you're going to like it. Well, I'm telling you what, I don't like it. And I'm not going to sit here and say I like it. I don't. None of this stuff is okay with me. I don't like any of it, Austin. What do you think about this?
No, it's all very odd with a lot of it going on. It's very strange. We see the whole Obamacare thing going back and forth as far as they were supposed to repeal that, and now they're not. Now they say they're going to do something, now they're not. Now health insurance in California are threatening higher premiums and exchange exits if Obamacare's cost-sharing reduction payments aren't made. The Affordable Care Act created a subsidy to rein in the cost of out-of-pocket expenses. These payments are now in limbo after the two House committees called the payments unconstitutional and filed a lawsuit against them. So this whole thing with Obamacare, I don't know if it's just obfuscation. I don't know if it really is something truly that the globalists do not want to let go of. I know that from the beginning it was all about extracting as much money as they could from the American population and making the insurance companies filthy rich and giving the IRS the power, the autonomy again to steal money from us unconstitutionally through the whole tax that we were going to have to pay, which, I mean, that still just gets me irate even when I think about that, that Congress actually gave IRS the power to fine you for not having health insurance. That just still boggles my mind. But in other news, the 1 in 3 Europeans now are ready to dump cash ahead of the digital future. Says over a third of Europeans would be happy to abandon cash and rely on electronic payments if they could, according to a new study by ING Bank released last week. The survey of almost 15,000 respondents showed that over half used less cash over the last year, with 78% wanting to use less cash over the next year. With the rapid development of cashless payment systems, such as contactless cards and mobile phone wallets, as well as the expansion of digital currencies, the future of physical money has come under the spotlight. The increasing interest of central banks in new cashless schemes has promoted the trend. And this is something that I keep warning everybody about, is use cash, have cash. It seems like every time I go somewhere now, I run into one of my friends or somebody's there, and they're like, well, I don't have any cash with me. I don't keep cash with me. I got a card with me. Guys, that is one of the most negligent things you can do right now, not just from a digital, everything's private, no privacy, that aspect. That's a whole other aspect of that, because quite frankly, who cares if the NSA knows that you bought organic bread on your credit card at Publix? I really don't care. That's a whole other side topic. It's the fact that at any given second, a power surge could go, an EMP could go, a solar flare could go, any aspect. It's not even fear-mongering. It's just simple logic. It happens. It happens all the time. And you can be anywhere and not have the cash to buy something, so you have to steal it or find other means, which I don't advocate that. So why put yourself in that situation? Secondly, every time we start allowing ourselves to go into this digital technology-induced lifestyle where everything is based on technology, I mean, I know a kid the other day I talked to, he got one of the new phones and has the retina scan on it. You know, is completely okay with his cell phone scanning his retina every time it opens. That way you don't have to use the thumbprint anymore. When the thumbprint came out, I remember people were irate and were like, man, I don't want to use that. That's sketchy. I'm not going to do it. Well, now Samsung made sure they put the thumbprint module on the back of the phone, so the retina scanner is the most efficient, easiest thing to use on the phone. So, of course, it is a full facial recognition scan and iris scan every time it opens your phone. Is it secure? Absolutely. Are 99% of the kids that are using these phones have actually secure confidential material on them? Absolutely not. This is all about getting the younger generation to capitulate and be okay with completely giving up their entire biometrics, their lifestyle, their privacy, every aspect over their life, over to the deep state and the globalist agenda. Not something I'm okay with. That's why I say all the time, bring cash with you, have cash with you, don't rely on cards. When you can pay stuff with cash, even if it may be slightly inconvenient, do it as much as possible. Every time you pay with cash, that ticks the clock one backwards and showing that we're actually still using cash. The more you use a card, the more it shows card usage is going up. People encourage the use of cards and cash usage is going down. So that's my take on that, Dad. But as you see, in Europe is usually the beta test for a lot of this, and they are really, really starting to push into the digital currency in a couple of those countries really, really hard now.
Well, the people in Europe don't go to church anymore, very rarely.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be that's where we got our Christian Protestant work ethic from, was Europe. And it's been so secularized now that they really don't, I mean, they don't even have any real morals anymore. I mean, they have sex in the public parks and they run around naked in public steam rooms together. I mean, I've seen all of it. And so, I mean, it's just the way they are over there. It's just strange. It's not the same way. They think we're prudish because we're still trying to maintain Christian values in the United States. By the way, that little rant that you just did was absolutely excellent. And, it's really nice to know that you're almost 29 years old and you're this awake. And it lets me know that the kids that are listening right now, you've got a really good mentor with Austin, especially the younger guys, because I know a lot of you guys can't relate to me because I'm 61, and a lot of you guys that are in your 60s or 50s, you can relate to me very well. And so it's really nice to have you on with me, Austin, doing this every day, because it allows you the ability to show the people out there that you don't have to be 50 or 60 years old to believe this stuff. That if someone teaches you the truth as a child, you'll retain that knowledge. You'll continue to walk in the way you were taught to walk. Remember, the Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Guys, it's very important that you make sure your kids are awake. Real quick, by the way, the U.S. is aiding a genocide by mass starvation in Yemen. Remember, Yemen is one of the countries that we were told they were going to overthrow, and now they're doing it by starving everybody to death. There's an increasing hunger epidemic in Yemen, with close to 2.2 million malnourished and over 7 million people not knowing where their next meal will come from. This is a giant genocide that we're allowing to happen for the globalist bankers in Yemen. And so the sad part about this is, it reminds me what happened with the Turkish genocide. I want you guys to go watch a movie. It's not a feel-good movie, but it's a really well-done movie. It's called The Promise. And it's about the Armenian genocide that took place in Turkey in 1915, 16, and 17, when Germany was allies with Turkey and Turkey entered the war. Turkey, being a predominantly Muslim country, basically declared a holy war on everybody that was there that was not a Muslim. In other words, all the Christians were run out into the desert and millions of them starved to death. It was called the Armenian Genocide. And this movie actually addresses that and what the Muslims were willing to do to the Christians and how these Christians were just let out into the desert to be starved to death by the millions, which actually happened in the 1915s. And of course, the Turkish government is still denying that, even though proof has been shown repeatedly that the Christians were killed like this. This is what happens when you get a state like a Muslim state deciding to go ahead and do an ethnic purge of Christians into the areas. I mean, this war that's been going on in Europe with the Muslims and the Christians has been going on for a very, very long time, and it really manifests itself like this back in the 1915 area. Also, it happened too, and I always remember this because we went to a place called Alhambra in Spain, which is right off the coast, and it was the last more strong Muslim stronghold in Spain. And in 1492, I always remember that because, you know, Columbus, and in 1492, Queen Isabel was handed the keys to the Alhambra by the Muslim ruler there, and they left Spain. They were driven out. Now, guys, the Muslim faith, if they're radical Muslims, is not compatible to Christianity because their whole goal is either convert people to become a Muslim or kill them. Pretty much is what the Quran says. I'm just being directly blunt with you. Now, if they're a moderate Muslim, which there are moderate Muslims that I know that are friends of mine who don't feel that way. They just want to live peacefully in the United States and they don't want to be doing, you know, jihad and all the other things. The problem that we have with so many of the Muslims, and this is an interesting article that came out of Australia, is that there's been so much interbreeding with what's happening in the Muslim community for like 1500 years that they've really, really dumbed themselves down to the point they're willing to strap on, you know, suicide vests, and they're just not real bright. That's why they're having such a hard time in training a lot of these Muslim armies in the Middle East to basically be equipped and properly prepared as far as for combat, because they simply don't understand that this inbreeding has really affected them in a really, really negative way. In fact, if you go to Cairns, this is where the Great Barrier Reef is in Australia. Austin and I were there a few years ago, and we actually dove the Great Barrier Reef. I guess it's been about, it's not a few years ago now. I guess it's been about 15 years ago. And it's Cairns, C-A-I-N-R-N-S, News out of Australia, North Queensland's People's Power News Service. They also talk about how the crocodiles are eating all the tourists now. And the front of the, I love the website. It goes, warning, politically incorrect zone. All personnel entering these premises will be encounter a thing called freedom of speech. And it says, quote in this article, that Muslims suffer insanity, low IQs, and recessive disorders from 1400 years of interbreeding and inbreeding. And so, it basically, you can read this yourself. I don't want to have to basically go in detail on this. It says, but it starts off by saying from a Lockheed employee in Saudi Arabia, during the pilot transition program with the KV-107 and the C-130 with Lockheed, we found that most Saudi pilot trainees had very limited night vision, even on the brightest of moonlit nights. Their training retention was minimal, including maintenance personnel. Some had dim memories and had to be constantly reminded of things that we were told to them the day before. An American, British, or any other Western instructor is burned out pretty quick by trying to train these guys. It actually took Muslim C-130 pilots years before they could fly in the dark safely, and then would be reluctant to leave the lights of a city. So it's then that they are, and they're saying, ask any Marine, Air Force, or Army guy who's been trying to train Iraqis, and especially Afghans. Islam is not only a religion, it's a way of life all year round. And yet another set of revealing facts about Muslim beliefs and traditions and ways of life is they've had 1,400 years of inbreeding. So you can go and read the rest of this article, but I wanted to share that with you guys. And so when these guys come into our country and they believe what they believe, it's the ignorance that usually, it's the confidence that Zig Ziglar said it this way. It's the confidence that's usually associated with ignorance. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but when a person really has a belief system that makes no sense, you know, it's most of the time it's because they're uneducated. I remember one time I had my kids were in a private school and one of the teachers was a big vaccine proponent. And they sent me these emails all the time about, you know, why my kids weren't vaccinated. So finally I started sending them research, scientific studies that showed why. And finally they emailed me back and said, we don't want to see anymore. And I said, well, I texted them. I said, well, don't you want to know why I believe what you believe? What I believe? They said, no, we don't care. We believe what we believe. So they didn't want to be confused with the facts. So that's not my audience. That's not the Hagman audience. That's not Sheila's audience. That's not Dave Hodges' audience. You guys want to know what the facts are. The facts are this. When you inbreed people, they're marrying their first cousins for 1,400 years. It has a situation to mess up the DNA. That's a fact. Yeah. And when you try to bring them into our country and get them to acclimate into our standard of livings and also in our way of life, they are not smart enough to figure out that's in the best interest of everybody. So we got to watch this stuff. And I'm very disappointed that we're not having any more money putting into the border walls, etc., which, quite frankly, with Ryan as Speaker of the House, but Austin, it wouldn't make any difference, even if the next Speaker of the House came in as completely compromised as Congress is right now. They'd do the same thing anyhow, because remember, these guys, over 50% of these guys, according to Dr. Robert David Steele, are basically compromised through sexual means, through drugs, through prostitution, through pedophilia, through witchcraft, through sorcery, through drunken rages and parties. Who knows? These guys are just perverted is what they are, and they're all compromised, and they're all being controlled. And like they said the first time we had Steele on, it's not like they have to vote. No, this was Wade Allen Root said this. He said it's not like they have to vote every single time the way we tell them to vote. We just tell them how to vote every once in a while on certain issues that we want to make sure either get passed or don't get passed. Those are the things that they do. And that's what has to be understood about all of this stuff in Congress. They don't have to control them all the time, just on the key issues, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. If they can get that to happen on, you know, a semi-regular basis, they dictate the laws that this is something right here that we've seen. They want to put no money in the border protection, but yet they still want to fund Planned Parenthood. These are the things that everybody has to look back at and say, what are your priorities here? Are your priorities keeping the border controlled and not allowing the drugs and the MS-13 cartels to come in? Or is your goal and your money at trying to provide free abortions for every girl in the United States so you can promote that incredibly satanic ritual they do on a daily basis? That starts showing you where their mindset's at and what they're promoting. And this is exactly what we're seeing with the new budget this year, with last year, with every year. Same thing. President doesn't matter. The same budget constantly gets pushed with the money going where they want it allocated. And that's just where it's going now. And good news, though, this is still pretty exciting. The number of gun-related background checks in April remain near record levels, according to FBI statistics. In April of this year, there were 2,045,564 gun-related checks in April. It was a decrease of only about 100,000 checks from the all-time high record for the month of April 2016, which means that the numbers of guns being purchased by law-abiding citizens is still staggeringly high. It still has never dropped down much below 2010-2011 levels. All that happened, you guys remember when Sandy Hook occurred, that entire false flag, in my opinion, that fake false flag, gun purchases, magazine purchases, everything went through the roof. So it's good to see the American population still trying to stay armed. We still have to fight extremely hard every day to make sure that the government does not try and take that God-given right away to us. But it is good that a lot of people are still exercising that. And I encourage everybody, you know, if you don't own a firearm, if you want to own one, if you think you're interested in one, go to the range and try one out. It may not be for you. I don't push that on anybody. If you don't want to own a firearm, don't own a firearm. But it is a right that I think you should utilize if you have the ability to do so and you feel the need to do so. But if you do, you need to do it in a safe manner. And if you buy a firearm, you need to know how to store it, carry it, shoot it, and operate it correctly and safely to prevent anything from happening to you or anybody around you. Too many people I have seen in the last couple of years stockpile weapons and never shoot any of them. And they're more of a hazard to everybody around them because they don't know how to handle a gun properly. They just like to collect these things. And it's okay. Collecting firearms is cool too, but you need to know how to safely handle and operate them, or else really I don't want to be around you with them. Too many people get shot with negligent discharges every year, and that's really something that should never happen at all, especially for the fact that your finger is the trigger. I always tell people that. I carry a Glock. Dad likes his Kimber. I prefer a Glock. I don't like having a safety on my pistol, and that's the thing. Negligent discharges don't happen with me. I've had zero. I know how to handle weapons, and my finger doesn't reach the trigger, and so I'm ready to engage a target. And if people get that mentality and learn it at the beginning of their firearms handling, usually there's never an issue with it at all. But that needs to be taught from the very, very beginning. Or you can just buy a Kimber like Dad.
Well, I like the Kimber because it has a web safety on it for the web safety. So I like 1911s, and he's got thumb safety. I like the knockdown power of 45. I like having the hammer back, the safety on, and then you got the trigger. To me, the trigger is a safety. You're exactly right. To keep your finger off the trigger. If you train not to, you put your finger on the trigger, you're not going to fire the gun anyhow. And then you got the trigger as one safety, then you got the web set as another safety, and then you've got the thumb safety as another safety. So to me, my Kimber has three safety mechanisms on it. Now, I keep that Kimber chambered, which means it's hot, and also keeps his Glock hot. And so what I have, I have a pocket holster sewn into my pants. In other words, Sharon extended the pocket in the bottom of my pants that I wear about another 6 inches so I can have my Kimber down inside of my pants in a holster in my pants, and it's made out of like a canvas, so I can pull it out very quickly. It doesn't catch on anything because the way she did the seams. And so I could walk around and pretty much not anyone ever knows because of the canvas holster. It covers it up with like two layers of canvas. So you don't even see the gun. There's no silhouette. There's no pattern. There's no imprint of the gun. So you don't even know I'm carrying the weapon, and I can get it out of my pocket instantaneously because of the smooth nature of the way Sharon sewed it. I love guns. I've always liked guns. I like the way they look. I like the way they feel. I like the way they shoot. I like having that ability to know that I can defend myself regardless of how many people are around in case I got into some kind of gang thing that I don't want to be in. But I've learned a long time ago, I don't go to places where that kind of stuff's going to happen. If you stay out of certain places, you don't have to worry about that in most cases anyhow. But the reality is, just in case something happened, you learn very quickly that you don't have to be scared, but you need to walk away as quickly as you possibly can. And you don't need to start seeing how many people you can shoot. That's not necessary. You need to walk away and leave. I mean, I've been in situations before, like at gas stations, when somebody will come up to me and like try to get money from me or be weird or whatever, and I'm just like, dude, I gotta go. I gotta go, and I gotta go right now, and you want me to go. I gotta leave. And I just leave. Because they're like, why do I want you to go? I said, you just want me to go. That's all we're gonna talk about today. I don't wanna be here. You don't want me to be here. I'm gonna leave. And I leave. That's all I say. I don't ever talk about brandishing a weapon or pulling a gun. I don't even tell them I've got a weapon. I'm just like, you don't want me here. I gotta go. You have fun. Do whatever you want to do. That's the end of it for me. Because I learned a long, long time ago, it's easier to walk away from that. I don't want to be the guy who shoots somebody over something that I could walk away from. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, if I'm getting attacked or somebody pulls a knife or a gun on me, that's different. That's completely and totally different. But just when you can walk away, and I've learned this a long time ago, when you carry a gun, you become very quick to realize you need to walk away. You don't want it to escalate. You need to walk away. So it gives you the ability to walk away and say, I got to go. And that's the end of it. And people need to understand that's why you carry a weapon, not to use it unless you absolutely have to and you get attacked, but just let you know that you don't have to walk away, but you need to walk away, and you need to make sure you don't engage with that weapon. Because, guys, I promise you, even if you do it in self-defense, look what happened to Zimmerman with Trayvon Martin. The guy had him on the ground pounding his head into the concrete. He shoots the guy, which he was perfectly capable of doing, ended up in trial, ruined a kid's life. I mean, and it was justifiable. And so you don't want to get there. You don't want to be in that situation. You don't want to do that. By the way, new ruling is expected to pave the way for genetically modified citrus. Now they're starting to put a virus into citrus, and they're going to try to make it so it's not affected by citrus greening down here. You guys cannot believe how much citrus greening we've had in Florida. We have literally hundreds of thousands of acres of dead citrus trees here in Central Florida. It looks awful. They're all dead. I personally believe the spraying with all of this aluminum has poisoned the soil, that the trees have gotten so weak that the citrus canker or citrus greening affects them. That's what I believe has happened to them. Because, guys, suddenly they all start dying. Well, that's after suddenly they start spraying us with hundreds of thousands of tons of doggone aerosol aluminum in the doggone atmosphere, and certain plants are more susceptible to aluminum than others. This is why Monsanto is now coming up with, you know, aluminum-resistant corn. What the heck do they have to make that for? Why is that okay? Why is it suddenly they're making aluminum-resistant crops? And that's what I think this is going to be. I think it's going to be some kind of variant of an aluminum-resistant citrus, so it's going to be able to grow better in Florida with more pesticides and more chemicals. Guys, I want to thank you for listening today. I hope it was an okay blend for you. I wanted to kind of preachy a little bit on what was going on as far as the diet sodas. And I know a lot of that information is redundant for you guys because I've told you about it so many times. But guys, after I spoke to my buddy today, he has his elevated phenylalanine levels in his blood. He must have been hammering diet sodas to get that up there. So guys, don't do that. Stay away from that mess and just always ask yourself that simple question. How much paint thinner do I want to drink? How much methanol do I want to put into my blood today? I mean, how much degradation of my optic nerve do I want? How blind do I want to go today? Ask yourself those questions before you want to start drinking that stuff, and in most cases, you'll walk away. Guys, I love you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for being here for us. I appreciate every single one of you, and I hope you've enjoyed the show. God bless you guys. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely, man. We appreciate everything. Also, too, we got a fresh batch, a huge batch of our organic beet juice powder coming in. You guys know I love that stuff. It really helps with athletic performance. It's good for inflammation, really helps lower blood pressure, and helps to detoxify the body. Remember, they did a research study a while back ago with like almost 30 men, and they took one that drank placebo, which basically was water, and another one that did beet juice, and they exercised three times a week. The beet juice actually, within 6 weeks of doing it, it actually decreased the blood pressure significantly. And so I think it dropped it by like 8 points, the systolic blood pressure. Raw beets, you know, are also good for the immune function. They're really good for detoxifying the liver and the kidneys as well, and really keeping the blood clean. So you guys, if you're interested in those, check them out on our website, healthmasters.com. We got a brand new batch coming in. Very, very popular product. Everybody loves that stuff. The organic, non-GMO certified, non-GMO organic beets that are cold processed, so they're basically in a crystal form. That's why I used to call them beet juice crystals. Probably everybody got confused. They thought it was like a big crystal, and it's not, but it looks like crystals because it's a powder form, and it's a crystallized form. It's not dehydrated. It's cold processed. Really, really great stuff. Also, too, if you guys saw, this will be the last day for the Ultimate Multiple Powder to be on sale. That's product of the week on 10% off. So if you guys want any of the other ones to win, the L-glutamine, the fiberline, the immune support, any of those, vote on them. Vote which one you guys want. There's a lot of them that are up top right now that are winning pretty strong. And so let us know what you guys want. And, you know, whatever wins, we'll put it on sale. Right now I think the Immune Support DF is pulling. And that's a very, very popular product now that we've got the new formula that's even better. And we have a lot of it in stock. But, again, the Ultimate Multiple Powder will be on sale till midnight tonight for over 10% off. Very, very effective product. Also, too, if you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com, and be sure to check out the latest articles. We just put up a couple photos of the 2017 photo shoot of Ted and Sharon, or Mom and Dad, as I refer to them to off air. Their new photos are on the website, 61 and 60 years of age. Lana and mine, our photos will be done here in the next couple days, and we'll post them as well. That way everybody just can see us, updated photos. We took these about a month ago, so they're about as fresh as they get. And we will actually be phasing into changing the bottles now, putting the new photos on the bottles. So feel free to check those out and see the photos on the website. They definitely turned out pretty good, in my opinion. But, yeah, if you guys need anything, email us, healthmasters.com. Go up to the contact form, you know, the search bar at the top, type in the word contact, and fill out the contact form and send us an email if you got any questions. Or call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.